Hello and welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the 2019 season. The notes I'm reading today are for a special concert by the North Carolina Symphony at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, June 6th, at Maymandy Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. The performance will be conducted by guest conductor Joshua Gerson, and the featured soloist will be violinist Jennifer Frauci. The program on this performance will include the following. The North Carolina Symphony comes onto the stage to perform the Overture to a Midsummer Night's Dream by Felix Mendelssohn. And that will be followed by Water Music Suite No. 1 by George Friedrich Handel. Then following the intermission, the symphony returns to the stage for the primary performance this evening, The Four Seasons by Antonio Vivaldi. Now I'll begin our reading of the symphony notes. First, some information about our guests. Joshua Green is currently assistant conductor of the New York Philharmonic, where he made his subscription debut in 2017 to critical acclaim from the New York Times. For 5 years, Gerson was music director of the New York Youth Symphony. He was also previously the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation Conducting Fellow of the New World Symphony. Gerson previously led the North Carolina Symphony in performances of the John Williams score for Star Wars, A New Hope, accompanying screenings of the film. Return engagements this season as a guest conductor also include the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, the New World Symphony, and the San Francisco Symphony. Gerson made his conducting debut at age 11 with the Greater Bridgeport Youth Orchestra and his professional conducting debut 5 years later, leading the Greater Bridgeport Symphony in a performance of his own composition, A Symphonic Movement. Gerson is a graduate of the Curtis Institute of Music and the New England Conservatory of Music. And now our guest violinist for this performance, Jennifer Frauci, two-time Grammy nominee and Avery Fisher Career Grant recipient. Jennifer Frauci has garnered acclaim as a musician with a wide-ranging repertoire, molding a career with smart interpretations of both War Horses and Rarities, according to the Chicago Tribune. Highlights of her past season include performances with the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra and the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, as well as return engagements with the Chattanooga Symphony, the Phoenix Symphony, the Symphony Orchestras of Alabama, Arkansas, and Toledo, and the Rhode Island Philharmonic. Born in Pasadena, California, Frauci began studying the violin at age 3. She was a student of Robert Lipset at the Colburn School. She also attended Harvard, the New England Conservatory of Music, and the Juilliard School, where she studied with Robert Mann. She performs on a 1722 Antonio Stradivarius violin, known as Ex Cadiz, on loan from a private American foundation. The first work to be performed by the North Carolina Symphony on this concert is the Overture to A Midsummer Night's Dream, Opus 21, by Felix Mendelssohn. Mendelssohn was born February 3, 1809, in Hamburg, Germany. He died November 4, 1847, in Leipzig. This work was composed in 1826, the first performance August 26, 1826, in the Mendelssohn House, conducted by the composer. The first public performance was February 20, 1827, in Stettin, Germany. Karl Lowe was the conductor. Now here is the overview. Mendelssohn's Overture to Shakespeare's play dates from 1826, when Mendelssohn was 17 years old, and he and his sister Fanny first became acquainted with the brilliant romantic German translation of Shakespeare by August Wilhelm Schlegel. Germans took to Schlegel's translation so strongly that they spoke of Unser Shakespeare our Shakespeare, as if the bard had written in German. Well, although the prodigious siblings had composed regularly during their youth, the overture served as Felix's public debut, garnering for him recognition as a musical genius. The work immediately became spectacularly popular and was performed repeatedly throughout Northern Europe. Years later, in a letter to his publisher, Mendelssohn commented that the sequence of ideas in the overture follows the play closely. We hear first the fairy music whispering on the violins. Later we hear the bray of Bottom. He, with his ass's head, and also Bottom's peasant dance towards the end. And at the end, after everything has been satisfactorily concluded, and the principal players have joyfully left the stage, the elves follow them, bless the house, and vanish with the dawn. Thus the play ends, and my overture as well. 16 years later, in 1842, Mendelssohn was invited by Frederick William IV, the King of Prussia, to compose incidental music for a Berlin production of Ein Sommernachtstraum. By using themes from the overture as a basis for the later sections, as well as recapturing the airy style of the earlier orchestration, Mendelssohn was able to make the music sound like a seamless whole. The eerie effect of the introduction into fairyland was such a touch of brilliance that subsequent composers have shamelessly borrowed it. Note the opening measures of Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: 2 flutes, 2 oboes, 2 clarinets, 2 bassoons, 2 horns, 2 trumpets, tuba, timpani, and strings. Next, the North Carolina Symphony performs Water Music Suite No. 1 by George Friedrich Handel. Handel was born February 23, 1685, in Halle, Germany, and he died April 14, 1759, in London. The work was composed in 1717, and the first performance, July 17, 1717, on a barge on the Thames. Here is the overview. Despite the familiarity, the Water Music Suites, particularly this first one, are fraught with musicological mysteries. The myths and legends surrounding these works are as well known as the music itself. We know that Handel's employer, George Elector of Hanover, and heir to the British throne, was miffed with his Kapellmeister for both overstaying a leave of absence in England and for writing laudatory compositions for England's Queen Anne, whose childlessness set him up to succeed her. We also know that when George became King of England, Handel arranged a suite to be played on a barge on the Thames as part of a royal regatta in order to get back into the good graces of the angry monarch. Unfortunately, little of the story is substantiated. There is ample evidence that he wrote the suite for the Royal River Festival, but there's no hard evidence that the composer had ever been out of favor with George, as evidenced by a Te Deum written for the king in 1714 and a royal payment to Handel in 1715. Nevertheless, any convincing documentation, pro or con, the various stories of Handel's relationship with his boss at this point in his career has yet to turn up. Then there's the question of the musical content itself. The first Water Music Suite is traditionally played in 10 sections, 8 in F major, 2 in the relative D minor. Nevertheless, there is some question about whether these 10 numbers were all actually played at the premiere, or whether Handel later added 2 sections from an earlier concerto composed the same year. Since there is no manuscript of the full score, and the earliest publication of the entire set was in 1788, it is impossible to know the original content and order of the suites. Handel's frequent recycling often makes it difficult to determine the original date of many of his works. The traditional Baroque suite consisted of 4 to 6 movements based on a standard menu of court dances. The water music suites, however, incorporate non-dance movements, most of which bear only tempo marking and no title at all. The instrumentation varies from movement to movement, but usually employs oboes, bassoons, and horns, typical instruments for outdoor performances, in addition to strings and continuo, which were probably later additions for indoor performances. The work was arranged for two oboes, bassoon, two horns, harpsichord, and strings. Following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony returns to the stage to perform The Four Seasons by Antonio Vivaldi. Vivaldi was born March 4, 1678 in Venice, and he died July 28, 1741, also in Vienna. He composed the work around 1721. He published it in 1725. The first performance was unknown. Now, here is the overview. Beginning in 1703 and intermittently for many decades, Antonio Vivaldi served as music factotum at the Pio Ospedale della Pietà in Venice, an institution devoted to the care and education of abandoned, orphaned, and indigent girls, mostly inconvenient children of upper-class parents, with a special emphasis on musical training. Now, in addition to his duties as virtuoso violinist, violin teacher, orchestra director, and instrument purchaser, Vivaldi served as resident composer, producing hundreds of works for various instruments and ensembles, including nearly 450 concerti, usually at a rate of more than two per month. The resident girls were trained in both string and wind instruments, including the organ, and as part of their training, Vivaldi composed concertos for every instrument and instrument combination. Many of them were apparently written with specific soloists in mind. Vivaldi saw to it that his music reached far beyond the boundaries of Venice. Around 1711, an Amsterdam firm issued his first public concertos as Opus 3, entitled L'Estro Armonico, The Harmonic Fancy, a set of 12 concertos, four each, for one, two, or four violins, and four with added cello. Now, they are at the boundary between the old tradition of the Sonata de Chiesa, the church sonata, with its stately slow-fast movements, and the newer three-movement concerto form, fast-slow-fast. L'Estro Armonico was a sensation, becoming the most influential music publication of the first half of the 18th century. J.S. Bach admired these works and transcribed some of them as harpsichord concertos. The four concertos, known as the Four Seasons, are part of a group of eight violin concertos published in Amsterdam in 1725 as Opus 8. They're also among the earliest examples of program music. Vivaldi provided sonnets in Venetian dialect, probably his own, to head each of the four concertos, making with capital letters sections of the sonnets and their corresponding music. It is clear from the detailed notes Vivaldi made on the score that he enjoyed composing these concertos as well as performing them. Spring, the setting the mood for the opening movement, the opening ritornella, the recurrent phrase, is marked in the score Spring Has Returned. The first violin solo is marked Song of the Birds, and after a return of the ritornello comes a soft murmuring on the violin. After the next ritornello comes the lightning and thunder, followed by an extensive return to the singing birds and gaiety. The slow movement is a musical description of the snoozing goatherd, watched over by his dog, whose bark is imitated throughout the movement on the violas, with repeated notes to be played very loud and abruptly. The third movement, a rustic dance, opens with a suggestion of rustic bagpipes, complete with an imitation of their drones by sustained notes on the low strings. Summer, The opening phrases droop in sympathy with the suffering people. Suddenly, the violin depicts the singing of the birds. The zephyr's voice is heard gently on the violins and violas, interrupted by the wind squalls, depicted by rapid scales on the violins and bursts by the entire ensemble. A lonely violin solo describes the weeping shepherd's apprehension of an impending storm. In the second movement, the shepherd's rest, the solo violin, is interpreted repeatedly by his fear of distant thunder, strong tremolo by the whole orchestra. He tries to sleep again, but the gnats and flies, repeated dotted notes on the strings accompanying the solo violin, don't let him rest. The third movement describes the violent storm justifying the shepherd's fears. Darting scales in the violins describe the lightning, while the cellos and basses portray thunder. Autumn. The concerto begins with the rhythmic dances and songs of the peasants, followed by uncertain lurches by the solo violin to depict their drunkenness, which gets wilder and wilder, alternating with the dance music. With a sudden shift to larghetto, some of the revelers go to sleep while the dances continue. In the second movement, the muted strings become increasingly gentle as the slumber becomes deeper and deeper. Violins imitate the hunting calls in the third movement. A wild melee in the orchestra describes the confusion of the hunt, the fleeing prey, and its death, with the strings imitating the baying dogs. And finally, winter. The strings, with trills in the violins, describe the shivering in the winter cold. Swift arpeggios and scales by the solo violin describe the horrid wind, while a series of abrupt chords suggest stamping feet and running to get warm. But rapid tremolos show that all this activity is useless, since the teeth continue to chatter. Violin pizzicatos depict the falling raindrops, after which a warm melody on the solo violin describes the pleasant indoors with its roaring fire. The finale opens with sliding phrases of the violin walking and slipping on thin ice. The orchestra joins with a slower rhythm to indicate the hesitant steps and fear of falling. But then we are back outdoors, enjoying the warmth while the winds howled outside. The instrumentation for this work is for solo violin, harpsichord, and strings. These notes were written and copyrighted in 2019 by Joseph and Elizabeth Kahn. You've been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'll be reading all the program notes for the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2019 season and the coming 2019 and 20 season as well. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will be available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.